everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Webinars Unfiltered. You're back with me, Natalie, Chris Hopper, and Rachel. If you're joining us for this one and you've seen the first one, welcome back. If this is the first one that you're joining us for, then welcome. So in Webinars Unfiltered, we just take some questions that we see online that people are asking about webinars, and we attempt to answer them from our own professional experience and opinion. None of these are Workcast opinions, asterisk mark, just to let you know, these are our own opinions on these questions. So this week we are tackling a question about how to choose a webinar platform. So this person is saying, hello, marketers. I'm a few days into a new job at a B2B SaaS business, and I've been tasked with choosing a webinar platform for 2024. I've been quoted a mind-boggling 15K for the year with one platform, which is, let's be honest, that's like a lot, but it depends. We'll dive further into the question. Does anyone have any recommendations on other webinar platforms, or are the usual suspects the safest bet in terms of value for money and functionality? Any outliers? Some added info/context. The audience size will be 50 or less, and I plan to do one webinar a month. I don't want to spend more than 2K for the year. Okay, so how do you two feel? Shall we talk about from a marketing perspective, and then we can talk from Chris's perspective as a qualifying call perspective, and then Rachel will head over to you for demo what you'll be asking?
Yeah.
Happy for them? Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So, from a marketing perspective, when you're looking at a new webinar platform, I'd say maybe the best place to start is just doing a general search online with just seeing who will come to the top with, I guess, your more of your qualifying criteria of what you absolutely know that you need. So, for example, you know you need X feature, you know you need Y, who's most popular in the market at the moment, who do you know of? That you maybe have heard from referrals. And then from there, you could maybe go on to make a matrix, if you will, of who you think will give you most value for money based on the information that you can get initially. A lot of platforms at the moment, I don't think they have their pricing on their pricing pages. Mm-hmm. I think at the moment it's very much you need to submit a form to get that information before you can even move any further down the pipeline. Do you both agree with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like what you can get on your initial scout of the webinar platform and landscape. I think as well, what I think is really good is that you already know roughly how many you want to do a month and what your audience size could be, because I think that will impact the pricing quite heavily. Because I know there's some pricing matrices where you need to have like X number of registrations for each tier, or they do it based on how many webinars you want to run a month, and they'll cap it at that. What do you both think about that in terms of a marketing perspective? Why is that?
No, I think you're absolutely right, Natalie. I think coming prepared to these initial conversations, like having a deep understanding about what you want, what you're after, how will it benefit you as like the end user, how will it benefit the overall objectives for running the webinars, and it's trying to hit all these different markers and getting a big insight into each and every single competitor, because we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses depending on like the prospect, whether that's budget, whether that's what they want. Maybe they just want the conference and style tool, maybe they want the large expo style, maybe they just don't really know what they want at all, and they've just been tasked with like, look, we need to jump in at webinars, and they're just then thrown at the deep end. So having that big understanding about like asking like the end user what they want from it, asking like the your management team what they're expected from it, having that value from like different sectors of the company, and then coming to these webinar platforms and saying, look, this is our priorities, these are our key objectives, and we're looking to really to gain this knowledge of your platform based on these. And I think if you come around with that idea, like not just like, oh, let's just search for webinar platforms, but having this detailed knowledge about like your objectives, your goals, then you're gonna do absolutely fine. That's what I'm
saying. I think that's a good point. And I think asking the stakeholders who you work with for their kind of hard must-haves and their nice to haves is important as well, because again, that will affect budget. And I I'm going to say this from a sales perspective, but if you have a hard budget, then you need to go to the suppliers that potentially have that budget advertised on their website, because if companies don't, it is very likely that they're going to be costing a lot more than your budget. And they are offering you features and functionalities that warrant that higher price point. So, and this is, it works two ways. If you are very honest about how hard of a budget you're working to, then it will prevent you from wasting your own time speaking to companies who are too expensive. That's a big thing that I would say, because you don't want to be going through sort of a submitting a form, speaking to an initial person, then being on a demo. That's potentially an hour and a half that you could have got back if you were kind of like, this is a hard stop on a budget. But equally, if you were being asked by stakeholders for some features and functionalities that are must-haves, that when you're doing your research don't marry up to the budget that you need, then it's almost a case of feeding back to those stakeholders and saying, look, if we really want this, we really have to evaluate the budget, and we have to revisit if this project is even doable, because it's one of them things where you don't want to be given a massive budget and then just think, actually, I can get this software for £80 a month and then under deliver what your stakeholders are asking for just because it looks like you're saving money. And then vice versa, you don't want to be essentially expecting a Ferrari on, you know, on sort of a VW budget. It's not going to happen. I drive a VW, I love VW as well. It's one of them things. It's about setting expectations from the start, because you know, you can just want simple, straightforward things like the ability to have those 50 people on a call. You may even have to, well, you want to consider engagement as well, because webinar specific tools don't offer conferencing abilities like what we can do on, say, the likes of Teams and Zoom. They do offer two-way conversations on webcam and audio, but a lot of the premium higher-end webinar platforms don't. You can link off to them, but it doesn't include them as standard. So again, is that more important to you than what, say, reporting, analytics, data, and branding is? It's about weighing up what's most important to you and then realising what is available for your budget. That was quite the rant.
That was a good answer, though.
100%, because it's the way I was thinking about it as you're talking, it's very much getting into relationship.
Yeah.
Like, what are your must-haves, what are your, like, deal breakers? And, like, I want to throw in there as well, like, do you like the people that work at this webinar platform and company? Because if you don't, you'll be stuck with them for maybe a year, and then it just won't be an enjoyable experience either. So I think it's really important that, like, you like the culture of the people that you will potentially be working with, because they are an extension of your team. And I wanted to pick up on something else you said, Rachel, as well, about budget. And I know, Hopper, you said this as well. And I was like, I think this is something that a lot of sales and marketing teams have to deal with. It's like, bring us the moon and the sun, but you only have like peanuts to do it with. Yeah. And so I think what you both said there in terms of like, go out there, search, talk to these platforms, and then go back. And if you can get something within your budget, you're going to have to really set expectations and a realistic expectation about what can be delivered. Because there's nothing worse than saying that you can do it and then not be able to deliver.
There's the other options as well, because when it comes to the online event industry and webinars, you're not comparing apples to apples within this industry. There is no one, there's no two platforms the same either. It's worth if you do come across a platform that you really like and you do think fits the bill, but if they're in your budget, perfect. If they're not, speak to them and see if they're willing to offer you proof of concept, whether that be a free event or a discounted event. See if they're open to negotiating there as well, because that is sometimes something that I know some platforms do. And by doing a proof of concept with a one that you think you're matched to, might then help you build a business case to actually invest more / ask for a higher budget within reason, because you're able to prove the value of that platform, because it does tick all the boxes.
Absolutely. And I think when you do proof of concept, make sure you put a time span on that, because I think if you know you'll deliver, for example, lead generation, if you think you can get X number of leads from a webinar, make sure you say, okay, that's over actually the course of 3 months, mm-hmm. and not as soon as the webinar is gone. Because I think a lot of us here know that you can, for example, get 100 registrations, let's just say, ballpark, mm-hmm. for a webinar, but you'll still get the on-demand ticking through after if you choose to. Releases on demand after. So mm-hmm. I think set your timelines for something like this. Again, just so everyone's aware mm-hmm. of what you'll be working with within.
An interesting point as well, Natalie, because it is a case of, is your outcome lead generation? Is your outcome mm-hmm. not the number of leads, but the quality of leads? Is the outcome of your webinar revenue? Because is it a product demonstration, for example? Mm-hmm. Could it be an increase in your employee satisfaction because you're doing an internal comms event that is trying to improve the engagement internally within your company? It's finding out what stats you're trying to aim for, and it can be any of the above, like you've said, Natalie: lead gen, demand gen, revenue, employee satisfaction, membership satisfaction, because there's a lot of membership webinars for associations. So it's, I think ultimately it's a value that you want out of a webinar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely never a one size fits all, is there, when it comes to this type of this type of environment.
Yeah.
Because like Rachel touched on, there's like, from an educational standpoint, you could have colleges and universities targeting overseas to potential students in China, or you could also get like just a small SES, software as a service company, just looking into SES. You could get the SES even recruiting the best of the best.
We're talking about, we are the best of the best, Chris.
We are the best of the best. We are the SES of webinars.
I you were going to say something.
Anything else? Any sort of roundup statement that I can kind of think of? But there is, we'll probably give you more to think about than take away from that initial question. Mm-hmm. But what I would just say is, be very clear on what the hard needs and the nice to haves, and then you should be able to tick off and include or disclude. What's the word for disclude?
I feel like I should know.
Disclude.
There is a word.
That sound right to me.
Exclude. Wow.
I can't believe that.
Why, disclude still sounds right.
Should I cut this? You know, keep it in. We keep everything.
Yeah. You'll be able to figure out what you want to include and exclude.
You were going to say disclude.
I was going to say disclude. But yeah, no, I think that's everything that I can think of.
Chris, any roundup statement from you on this question for this person?
You know what, as well, I think just having ChatGPT on hand could really help you as like someone who, because as someone who's going into these initial conversations and they're being talked to by so many different reps, a good rep will not try to overwhelm you and like bombard you with so much. You're trying to like make you understand like the process in general of picking a platform, not just trying to oversell who they are. So just come prepared with some questions for yourself to talk to these reps, like, so like you've done your bit of research, you're kind of aware of like your environment, of like what you went into and who you're speaking to, and they're much more likely to give you a more direct answer based on that. So if you're coming if you're preparing yourself to actually to join these conversations with these sales reps, you're going to be in a much more better outcome and not buy into things that you may not necessarily need. So that's a really good way of like approaching it.
I think it's a good point, Chris. I think you need to come away from the initial call and even the secondary call feeling like you've been listened to as opposed to being talked at. So I think 100% I agree with that for sure.
I think the roundup that I'll add will be, don't feel rushed into or pushed into making a decision that you're not 100% comfortable with. As you said, you'll be committed to this for anything from a month rolling, if you can, up to a yearly contract. So just make sure you're comfortable with who you're getting into bed with.
And also, it's like being a first-time buyer on the housing market, on the property market. You're in a better position being a first-time buyer, because if you're with a provider already, you're already sticky with them a little bit, and you have to go through the loopholes of making sure you're out of an auto renewal, etc. So
auto renewals. Talk about that next time.
Yeah, that could be a topic.
What terms you should look at in your contracts. Love it. Okay, well, thank you both for joining me again. As I said last time, we'll try and do this on a monthly basis. Anything between 20 minutes to 40 minutes just to answer what questions everyone has about webinars at the moment. As always, these are unfiltered, so this will not be edited afterwards. So you can see all of our bloopers in here as well. So thank you both for joining me, and we'll catch everyone next time.
Thanks, Natalie. Bye. Thanks, Chris. Bye, everyone. Bye.